Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church and on Facebook at facebook.com/abundantassembly. And now, on to this week's message. It was very interesting this week. I was going to speak to you all about the Holy Spirit. And I was putting together this message, and I came to Thursday, and I had kind of a rough outline filled out, and yet when I went to write the message, I had nothing. I had an outline and nothing to fill in the outline with, and that is something that sometimes happens, but it never happens to me to that extent. But then Thursday night, we had the prayer meeting, which this Thursday was my wife meeting by herself, and then Friday morning, as I was in my devotional time, and I was reading my Bible, and as I was praying, and I was asking God, like, what do you want me to speak on? How is this message going to come together? Will you help me to write this thing? And suddenly it dawned on me that a message on the Holy Spirit is not something that we as a church necessarily need right now. And that maybe, just maybe, that is the reason why it wasn't coming to me. And instead, what was impressed on my heart was that our church needs to understand the importance of prayer. And listen, I'm not saying this is like a, oh, nobody came out to our prayer meeting, so boo-hoo on all of you kind of thing. What I'm saying is that we as a church, and not just our church, but really all churches, we need to learn to pray. We need to experience the power that is there when we pray. And of course, then Saturday is a day that I block off for my family, and I don't do any work that is church related on Saturday. And so I came to this morning still with absolutely nothing to share with you, which is wonderful when you are a detail-oriented introvert as I am, because I do not think on my feet. I plan and plan and plan. However, I decided, well, what better thing than while I'm showering to throw an audio Bible on, and I'll see if God speaks to me somehow through that. And so he did in some ways. And so today I'm going to read from you, or for you, from Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 39. We read, "Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you will not fall into temptation.' And he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, 'Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done.' An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. 'Why are you sleeping?' he asked them. 'Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation.'" And so a couple things that we see here is that Jesus is approaching the hour of his crucifixion, where when everything that he has been born to accomplish is going to happen, but he knows that it's going to be painful. He knows that really it's not going to be fun. It's a difficult thing. And so he goes off and he says, "I need to pray about this." And so he brings some of his disciples with me. And you notice that he doesn't say, like, "Okay, so you guys, you just sit over there and wait for me to come back and I'm going to go pray." But what he says is, he says, "You guys wait here and pray that you will not fall into temptation. And I'm going to go over here and I'm going to pray." What I think that we need to notice, though, is that Jesus, God, prayed. He prayed. And he prayed humbly as a servant of God, somebody that God coming to earth, the second person of the Trinity coming to earth and emptying himself and relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, fully God and fully man at the same time. And yet he comes to this place and he prays. And he prays not just a little, where he prays and then gets up and leaves, but he prays and then he prays so hard that he begins to sweat drops of blood. That's some anguish that this guy is going through. And what I want you to notice here is that he's praying so hard, and yet his prayer is one of humility. As God's people, we are not people that should go out and try to bully God. And I hear too often where especially in our kind of denominational circuit, you know, the charismatic Pentecostal movement, we like to go forward and we say, God, you're going to do this thing. Amen. Like God is Santa Claus or is our servant of some kind. And yet we see here, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. See, we don't pray according to our will. We talked last week, we don't pray and expect that we're going to get a Ferrari because we've been a good boy or girl. Because it's not about our will and about our selfish desires, but it's about us learning to bring our desires and our will in line with God's will. And so Jesus prays, and I think it's amazing because Jesus, God, is praying. He prays to the Father. He prays humbly about this whole thing. He prays hard. But we see an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. See, when you pray, and when you pray humbly, and when you pray believing, then God is going to show up in a tangible way. Now, I'm not saying that you're suddenly going to see an angel standing beside you and freaking you out and being like, yes, I have my sword here and I'm charging to your defense, and at the same time, I will comfort you. Okay, that's not always the way that it works. And sometimes we come before God and we pray and we feel like he's not there. And yet in prayer, we can know that we're communicating with God and that there are powerful things that are happening. Last week, we talked about how we become partners with God, partners with the Spirit when we pray together. When we pray together, it changes us. It doesn't necessarily change God, but it changes us. And so we see that Jesus prayed. Prayer is important because Jesus is a model for us. But here's where I think that there is a message for the churches of today. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them praying? No. He found them asleep. He'd said, stay here and pray that you may not fall into temptation. And then he went off and prayed. And when he came back, they weren't praying, but they were asleep. And he says, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Why are you sleeping? And friends, I think that the church today, especially when it comes to prayer, is sleeping. We've fallen asleep, sometimes literally. You know, you get up and you're like, I'm going to pray today, and you fall asleep because you haven't been sleeping enough. That's a totally different thing. Spiritually, we get to this place and we think, well, I'm good with God. I prayed the prayer. I go to church once in a while. I'm good. But have you fallen asleep when you should be praying? What temptations are right around the corner? What things are coming up that you need to pray about? One thing that always comes back to me these last couple weeks when I've been thinking about prayer is that story in Acts where the apostles, I believe it was Peter and John, and they're taken before the council and they're told, listen, if you don't stop talking about this Jesus guy, bad things are going to happen to you. And so they basically told them, well, it's not about what you said. Should we listen to God? Should we listen to man? You know, we're not listening to you. God told us to do this. And they go back to their group. And then what did they do? Did they say, oh my goodness, you won't believe the hardship that we're going through. You won't. Well, why? Where's God? Why is he letting us go through all these bad things? Look at the world today. It's worse than it's ever been before. Oh, the state of the church. Why aren't people coming to church anymore? Why don't people live out of faith anymore? They stopped. They didn't lament about things, but instead they got together. And what did they do? They prayed, Holy Spirit, we need boldness. And as they prayed together to the Holy Spirit for boldness, we're told that the Holy Spirit fell in that place and that they were all filled once again with the Spirit of God. and that they were given boldness for ministry. They were given what they needed to accomplish the mission that God had given them. And you see, friends, I believe that for us, for our churches, a sign of our complacency, a sign of our being asleep, is that we are so quick to complain and so quick to lament and so slow to gather together and talk to God. We've fallen asleep and we need to wake up. Because I believe with all of my heart that God is doing things in our community and that he wants us to be partners with him in this community as he does it. Let me tell you, a couple weeks ago, someone came to me after service and they said, when I came to this church for the first time, I felt like I had a word for you guys and now I'm going to be going away and so I need to share this thing with you. And here's what he said. He said that there is going to be a move of God in Pincher Creek and that this church, as it expresses the Holy Spirit and as it is faithful to Jesus Christ and his mission, that we will be at the center of this movement, but that it is not something that's just going to happen, but that we are going to run up against difficulty, against spiritual powers that are against us. You see, I don't know if you are aware of this, but Pincher Creek, it's not just a nice little peaceful Christian town. Okay, Pincher Creek, our biggest religious problem is not just the Mormons or the JWs knocking on our doors and trying to convert us to their way of thinking. Pincher Creek is a town that is steeped in the occult and in native spirituality. I don't know if you're aware of this, but about a year and a half ago, during one of their services at the Baptist church, a First Nations shaman came in and was chanting and walking around their sanctuary, doing his little movements and everything during their service, cursing them. See, there are spiritual things happening here. There are battles that need to be fought, and we need boldness, and we cannot fall asleep. We need to pray that we will not fall into temptation and that we will not fall against the enemy. So are you willing to wake up? I know myself, I need to wake up. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop talking now. And what I want you to do is I want you to break into groups of 3 to 5 people. And I want you guys, as Embry comes and she's going to sing quietly in the background to some of these worship songs, I want you guys to begin to pray for one another. And I want you to begin to pray for Pincher Creek and pray for strength and pray for the Holy Spirit's power and pray for a renewed vigor within yourself for prayer, to be spurred on towards prayer. And so right now, as Zembri comes, I'm going to invite you guys to get up from where you're at. I know that it feels awkward, but it's okay. Once one of you stands up, the rest of you will feel a lot less awkward. And you're going to go and you're going to get into groups of 3 to 5 people. If you need to add somebody to make 6, that's fine too. But just begin to gather together and begin to worship God and pray together for God to do great things. Amen. Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you, but the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes from a true relationship with their Creator. So, God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray.
God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship. I'd love to help you with that, so if you made that decision today, please send me an email to pastor@abundantsprings.church. That's P-A-S-T-O-R at abundantsprings.church, and I'll be sure to follow up with you. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.